You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, folks? It's Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguars on the Thursday. Gonna continue to discuss some of the possible moves that the Jags could make. One in particular that has come up, my man John Shipley from SI did a really good job on it yesterday talking about it, and there was a lot of social media traction, so I'll bring it here. I was talking about the possibility of getting Orlando Brown, getting Orlando from Baltimore since he's disgruntled and he wants to be a left tackle. Give you a little backdrop on it. Zeus filled in for Ronnie Stanley after Stanley got injured. They moved him from right tackle to left tackle. And he likes being a left tackle more than he likes being a right tackle. And he knows with Stanley coming back, since Stanley's such a great player, they're going to move him back to right tackle. So he wants to go somewhere where he can play left tackle. And people have talked about Jacksonville possibly being one of those places since they have the capital to go out and get him. Most fans have hung their hat on the thought of Trent Williams being available in free agency. That may not be true. Trent may not become available. I mean, they could franchise tag Trent. The 49ers could. They could reach an agreement with him before free agency. Or he can negotiate with the 49ers or 31 other teams. 30 if you don't include Jacksonville. The 49ers, the Jaguars, and there's 30 other teams that would like Trent Williams on their team. The other thing is his age. I think Trent Williams, what, 32? I think he's 32 years old, which isn't old for a left tackle. You've had guys play into their late 30s on that side of the ball. But to compare him to Orlando Brown is not really fair. Here's why. Because one guy's like 24, 25. And you have to factor in those years. If you really want to think about it, it's like if Trent Williams is better, and most people will agree that he's better, but Orlando is younger, then you have to start getting into, well, what's the ceiling on Orlando? And you have to get into, what does it cost? Both of them will probably cost the same amount of money at this point, even though they are in different spots in their careers. But the difference is you won't have to give up draft pick compensation. A draft pick, by the way, that you got as an extra in the Jalen Ramsey trade, right? So this is kind of why you get this kind of capital. I would rather go for the younger player, me, personally. And a lot of people saying, well, it's a good tackle draft. It is a good tackle draft. Why don't you just keep it and just draft another tackle at that point? I would say that when it comes to Trent Richardson, because you're getting a younger player. I wouldn't necessarily say that when it comes to Orlando Brown. It's because the player you're getting isn't that much younger than Orlando Brown. You see my point? And it's a bird in the hand, and he's proven. And you see what it is. The draft, I don't consider it luck like a lot of people because I love the draft. But let's just face it, you don't really know what you're absolutely getting and how these guys are going to respond when they get punched in the mouth by grown men. None of us do. It's all about the prospect aspect of it. And then you can still double back in this really good offensive line draft and grab two more offensive linemen in the draft. Let one of them compete at right guard and one of them go over to right tackle and say, hey, what's up, Juwan? What are you going to do? That's how good teams get good. You don't have to stop at one guy. But on the surface, the prospect of the Jaguars adding a veteran left tackle, a big physical guy who is really good in pass protection, for Trevor Lawrence, and it's a guy who's played already in the NFL. And I've been one of the people that's been saying, I don't mind the rookie left tackle protecting the rookie quarterback. I don't mind, because you get rookie quarterbacks that protect franchise veteran quarterbacks all the time. I mean, rookie offensive linemen that protect, you know, franchise veteran quarterbacks all the time. So it's the same thing to me. You know, the young guy probably is the guy that doesn't need as much protection because he got those wheels. He can get out of there, right? But when you have those statuesque quarterbacks, and you put rookies out there, it doesn't matter. And people go blindside and all of this. Look at Tristan Wirfs. And I know folks are going to say, well, he's not a left tackle. It doesn't matter these days. The pass rusher on that side of the ball, on that side of the line of scrimmage, usually is just as good as the other guy. They, you know, teams don't care. They, wherever a pass rusher wants to line up, that's where he lines up. And there's some good pass rushers that come from that other side too. Shaq Barrett is one of them. The Jaguars are going to be interested in about everybody talks about Josh Allen. You know where Josh Allen lines up? He lines up over the right tackle most of the time. So, you know, you need a good athlete there too. But for me, I just think it's an apples and oranges situation because of the age. I think if you're Jacksonville, you definitely call Baltimore. Now, I wouldn't give up the farm, that 25th pick, and then maybe something in the middle of the next year's draft. I wouldn't give up two picks this year. If it gets too bad in the negotiation, that's when I fall back. And then I will wait for a free agency to see what's up with Trent Richardson. But even with Trent Richardson, you got to understand something. If you get him, you're still going to have to use draft capital on another left tackle or a developmental left tackle, somebody that can play, because Trent, he's older. Gone are the days where we just sit here and put one guy in a position to say, that's it. That's it with a D. D-A-S-S-I-T. That's it. No. We got to get out of that mindset and out of that thinking. I'm going to talk about prospects. The definition of prospects and Pro Football Focus. The era of Pro Football Focus has not been around for an awful long time, but they did do something, an all-era prospect team. That's right. An all-era prospect team from Pro Football Focus. Who's on it? Any Jaguars? Any future Jaguars? You're going to be surprised, man. I'm going to tell you who's on that list. We're going to have some fun with it. And then in the third segment, I'm going to let you guys get used to Locked On Today with Peter Bukowski, another great podcast. I'm going to give you a segment of that today here on Locked On Jaguars. So stand by. First, I'm going to tell you about rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business that has been in business for two decades, and it is where you can go to get your parts and accessories for your automobile, your vehicle, your car, your whip, whatever you want to call it. You need to go to RockAuto.com, man, and save you some money. I don't care if you're a do-it-yourselfer. You get the same price as a professional. That's right, at RockAuto.com, the same low prices all day. You don't have to stand up in a chain store. None of that stuff, man. They'll send it right to your door. If you go to rockauto.com, they're going to ask you, how did you hear about us? I want you to put Locked On right in that box so that they know that we sent you. All of the parts and accessories that you can ever need, amazing selection, reliably low prices, and everything you want for your car is at rockauto.com. All right, man. So, coming to you and talking about prospects, I love the idea of discussing prospects. I really love doing it too every time, but I really like it in February. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents, More Than the Game. Don't miss this week's episode featuring Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball discussing the opportunities and challenges that come with being Black women in sports. There's a new episode running next week, so go ahead and subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts. The word prospect, I've looked it up several times in the dictionary, and this is one thing I had to get beat into my head with my friends that have been in the scouting game for a long time, is that when you are running an organization or when you're a scout in said organization, there's one thing to have like a gut feeling on a prospect or a guy that you think has some intangibles, even when he doesn't have the measurables, but you just know he's going to be good, and it's gut feeling, and it's about what fits your organization, and it's about temperament and all of that stuff. And that's a guy you stick on your board and you find a value spot for him. But that doesn't qualify as a top prospect, the gut feeling aspect. That's why a lot of scouts, They love the middle rounds. To them, that's the most fun part, because they think the first couple of rounds is easy scouting, because everyone is pretty much going to have the same idea or ideas about these guys. Who's going to be the first to reach for a guy or to go grab a guy that doesn't fit all of the measurables and doesn't have all of the things on paper that you think that they should have? That's the big question. And what teams do a really good job of that? Some teams do a lot of trading back. And the reason they do a lot of trading back is simply because of the fact that they know that there's a lot of value. There's a lot of value in the middle of those drafts. And they want to get back and get as many of those guys and those type of people that they can get. And they want to hover right there in that third, fourth, fifth, and sixth round. Baltimore, ironically, we're talking about the Ravens, have been one of those teams that have done that really, really nicely over the years. Baltimore has been one of those teams that have done that really, really nice. They got a lot of value out of those middle rounds. By just hanging around those middle rounds, they've gotten an awful lot of value, man. So it's just been something that they've really, really, really done well, and some other teams around the league have done pretty well. I think Green Bay, if you really look at Green Bay and Pittsburgh, they've done well in those areas as well. But a prospect is, when you look up the definition, at some point you're going to find the word likely. It's the guy that is the most likely to succeed. And when you talk about likely to succeed, it's based on, you ain't got to do analytics for this, but this is, and that's not a slap at analytics people, but it just goes back to the old Tom Landry, Tex Ram style of thinking. Get the biggest, strongest, fastest guys you can, right? Who also can accept coaching. And the likelihood, based on the norms and the mores of the league, the likelihood that those guys are going to be successful is higher. Therefore, they're a higher prospect. You get it? So when you're running a team or when you're in personnel, you better go in with those guys on that list very high. The likelihood that, based on the criteria of the NFL, those are the guys that's going to succeed and those are the guys that's going to be successful based on certain measurements, certain variables. Sometimes it doesn't include upside. Sometimes it's about a guy that you know, because you know he's going to be successful. You don't know if he's going to be uber successful, but you know he's going to be successful based on what he brings to the table as a prospect. You feel me? But it might not be upside. So sometimes you have to make that distinguish. You have to distinguish between those two also. So that's why the teams that do it real well are the teams that can take a few risks, because they're confident in what they do. And that's why I always push back when people talk about that it's just luck. No, it's not luck. It's not luck. I mean, it involves a little bit of luck. You got to be a little lucky at times, but it's not luck. The teams that do it real well are the teams that seem like they're always successful. When we look at the prospects over the Pro Football Focus era, you have to remember that this era doesn't go back very far. The other thing is, it can include guys that are in this year's draft. So I look through this wondering, how many Jaguars, current Jaguars, or guys that have played or that were drafted by the Jaguars, or that potentially could be drafted by the Jaguars this year on this team, right? The answer is one, Jalen Ramsey, that have played with the Jaguars. But I'm going to go through the list, and I'm going to name the position, the player that they have ranked as the best prospect, and they didn't have hindsight with this either. They ranked them when they first came out. They didn't go back and go, well, this guy, because he's been like real successful in the league, so I'm going to put him there. No, they were honest with their process and the guys that they had ranked. At quarterback, Trevor Lawrence is the best prospect in the PFF era in terms of their ranking. So you're going to get the best prospect quarterback. The honorable mention is Joe Burrow. So Trevor Lawrence is the best prospect in the Pro Football Focus era, and he's going to be a Jacksonville Jaguars. The running back is Dalvin Cook, with the honorable mention being Saquon Barkley. That's weird because Dalvin was taken in the second round, but some people like to think that it was they were worried about a shoulder or that it was worried about some character issues. But a wide receiver, it's two of them, and I totally agree with it. Amari Cooper, people forget how good Cooper was when he came out and his route running. He had 124 catches his last year at Alabama. The other one I also agree with, and that's Ja'Marr Chase. I keep trying to remind people, folks love What Have You Done For Me Lately. And I like the Smith kid, too, from Alabama. And I like Jalen Waddle. They ain't Ja'Marr Chase. I'm just telling you, go back and watch the 2019 season, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Well, you're going to see it this year. Wherever he goes, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be a superstar. In the slot, they got Jerry Jeudy because of his route running. Honorable Mitchell, Jalen Waddle. A lot of Alabama representation there. Tight end, Kyle Pitts, with the honorable mention of O.J. Howard. Kyle Pitts is the best prospect in the pro football era. Offensive tackles, Laramie Tunsil. You remember Laramie fell in the draft because of a draft day incident involving a bong, I believe, a mask. And Penei Sewell, kid coming out this year, and there's some folks arguing whether or not he's going to be the first tackle taken. Honorable mention, Jonah Williams and Lyle Collins. Offensive guard, Quentin Nelson. Doesn't surprise me. The next name does, though. That's Rashawn Slater at Northwestern a lot because most people are anticipating him being a tackle in the NFL, with the honorable mention being Cody Whitehair and Isaiah Wynn. Ironically, Isaiah Wynn was drafted to play left tackle in New England. The center is Frank Ragnow, with honorable mention Elgton Jenkins. Nose tackle, Quinnen Williams. Does not surprise me. Honorable mention Vita Vea. Three technique, Maurice Hurst. Honorable mention, Jonathan Allen. People loved Hurst when he came out. And remember, this doesn't say Aaron Donald because that was pre-PFF, okay? The edge, Chase Daniel and Miles Garrett. I thought one of the Bosa guys would get in, but they're both honorable mention here, Nick and Joey. The linebacker, Reuben Foster and Micah Parsons. Foster was a late first. Was he a late first? Yeah, I think he was a late first. It was really all about character. Somebody told me he should have been a top 10 pick. It was just all about some red flags. And a lot of them that you guys didn't hear about, apparently, allegedly. And I still haven't heard about them, but that's what was alleged. Cornerbacks, Jalen Ramsey, I mentioned that, and Marshawn Lattimore, the two highest prospects on PFF's list. The slot is Minka Fitzpatrick. Free safety, Malik Hooker, a guy that's a free agent with attachments and ties to Urban Meyer and Chris Ash. We'll take. He has an ACL and an Achilles injury since he's been in. Honorable mention was Grant Delpit. And at strong safety, Derwin James, with the honorable mention Jamal Adams. Those are the top prospects in the history, in PFF's brief history, in their era. One has played for the Jaguars, and at least one will be playing for the Jaguars in Trevor Lawrence. So for what it's worth, that's it. That's the way they view the prospects. That doesn't mean that those are the best players in the league. It just means that that's the way they view those potential prospects or prospects when they first came out in the draft. So, yeah, man. So we're gonna take a little bit of a timeout real quick, and I'm going to tell you about one of our sponsors. And then you're going to get a chance to listen to my man Peter Bukowski on Locked On Today, a new show here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Stand by as I tell you how to make you some money while watching your favorite sports. Football may be done, but basketball is still around, and you can get you some money betting on those games, man, college or pro, at BetOnline. That's right. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. I'm dead serious. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website to use your mobile device and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, one word. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The promo code, again, is Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. All right, man, so coming back here today, we have a new show on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's called Locked On Today. And it's the latest sports show here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Like I said, it's called Locked On Today. And it's only 20 minutes. And it gives you everything that you need to know about sports. And it gets you prepared for your day in sports. It's hosted by my friend Peter Bukowski. And here's what you can expect from this show every day.
Locked On Podcast Network and Radio.com present Locked On Today.
The NBA and its players are on opposite sides of the All-Star game. Are the Jets the most interesting team in the NFL this offseason? Plus, can the Minnesota Vikings follow in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' footsteps? I'm Peter Bukowski, starting your day with the stories you need to know and the biggest debates in sports. You're Locked On Today.
Searching all major sports.
Found.
Let's start with the biggest story.
We haven't heard much about the NBA All-Star Game lately, which is likely headed to Atlanta in less than a month. What's going on with that? Maria Martin with our friends at 11 Alive Sports gives us an update.
An NBA All-Star Game announcement seemed imminent, but as word circulated that the league was scrambling to put a game together,
I think it's stupid.
Player criticism arose. Reports stated that the league and the Players Association liked the idea of having the game, but the actual players, not so much.
Still dealing with a pandemic. We're still dealing with everything that's been going on. And we're going to bring the whole league into one city that's open. Obviously, you guys can see I'm not very happy about it.
After LeBron's comments, no announcement, just murmurs of the league continuing to work out the details.
The job for the union has been to try to make sure our players are healthy and safe.
Chris Paul is the president of the NBA Players Association and advocated for an All-Star game, and he's still working to make that happen.
Different situations, you know, guys who've been playing a lot of games, who haven't really had much of breaks. You know, guys look at that break as an opportunity to see their families.
Television rights are what makes it too appealing for the league to give up. Last year's game saw a ratings increase of 8%, 7.3 million viewers. Ads sold out in record time in 2020, bringing in millions.
We all know why we're playing it. You know, is money on the line, just putting money over health right now.
There is no timeline for an announcement, but it's likely coming. It may not bring the same fanfare as a typical event, but for Trae Young, he says it would be an honor.
It's a different opinion for me than a lot of other guys who are flying in, and I understand both sides.
11 Alive has been on top of this from the start. They'll continue to update us. But for the latest, check them out at 11 Alive News and 11alive.com. I, for one, don't understand how someone like Chris Paul can say, hey, we care about our guys' safety, our players, that's what we're worried about, and then say, well, we need to play this exhibition game that doesn't actually matter in the standings. LeBron has it absolutely right. This is about the money. This is about protecting the golden goose. They can sell ads on it, so they're going to have a game, and that's just the reality of the situation that we are in. Coming up next, are the Jets the most interesting team in the NFL, at least for a couple months?
Now, here's what you need to be locked on today.
It took overtime, but the Lakers beat the Thunder 114-113. Wednesday night, LeBron James made a three with 19 seconds left in the fourth quarter to tie it at 105, then got the defensive rebound on the other end to send the game into overtime. The Phoenix Suns ended the Milwaukee Bucks' five-game win streak last night in a game that came down to the final seconds and a Giannis jumper at the buzzer that wouldn't go.
Brendan Kleen here with you from Locked On Phoenix Suns, coming to you live from Phoenix Suns Arena after a 125-124 victory by the Phoenix Suns over the Milwaukee Bucks, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. The Suns come from a back-and-forth game, and Devin Booker takes them home once again with some fourth-quarter scoring. Gets to the free-throw line off of an isolation on Chris Middleton late. But more than anything, this is the Suns' offense that we've talked so much about. They started off as a strong defensive team. They came together defensively with Jay Crowder, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges leading the way there. Now the offense is really at its peak. I've been talking about it for days and on Locked On Suns, and here we are. Another magnificent performance, 125 points against this Bucks defense. Weathered the storm as Giannis got to the line, I think 20 or so times. The refs were almost using broken whistles, it felt like, with how consistently that call was there for Giannis Antetokounmpo. But no matter, the Suns come away with the victory in front of an arena full of fans, and it's their fourth straight. They are now 15-9, heading up the Western Conference standings, and as I said, coming together as an offensive squad and really realizing their potential. For more on this team, follow Locked On Phoenix Suns wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Timberwolves fell to the Clippers 119-112, but they did get Karl Anthony Towns back as he returned for his first game since contracting COVID-19. Towns played 31 minutes and scored 18 points. Towns, of course, lost multiple family members to the COVID-19 outbreak and has been outspoken about his difficult experience in the pandemic. Five WNBA teams combined to make five trades, including seven players and five draft picks on Wednesday, highlighted by Natasha Howard heading to the New York Liberty and the Dallas Wings landing the number one overall pick. The Seattle Storm lost two key contributors to their 2018 and 2020 title teams while reshaping the roster with a focus on younger talent that also involved the Minnesota Lynx and Phoenix Mercury. Nearly half the league's teams in all were involved in the transaction.
Here is another story you need to know.
Between new coach Robert Saleh and the swirling Deshaun Watson rumors and as much cap space as any team in the league has in an offseason where a lot of teams are going to be cap crunched, the New York Jets just may well be the most intriguing team of the NFL offseason. John Butchko from Locked On Jets joins me now. And John, when you are looking at the big picture for this Jets offseason, do you have a number one priority list here on what they need to get accomplished moving forward?
You know, Peter, it's difficult to say because the Jets just need pretty much everything right now. This was it was a 2-14 football team. And as you mentioned, there are going to be a lot of tools at the disposal of this team because they have cap space. And this is a unique year to have cap space. Most years, the salary cap goes up in the NFL. So even if you are among the league leaders in cap space, everybody's got some money to spend. So you may be able to get certain free agents, but you have to pay a lot for them. This is going to be the type of year where there are not going to be a lot of teams with money to spend. So your dollars will go further. But in addition to that, the Jets also have an extra first round pick and an extra third round pick from the Jamal Adams trade. So that's the good news. The Jets have a lot of resources to make their team better, but the bad news is they need a little bit of everything.
Right. They've got a lot, but they need a lot. And that creates some questions about priorities. So is there a price with Deshaun Watson that you would just say, look, that's too much. It's just too much.
You know, the way I look at it is I don't think that you would ever say 15 years from now, oh man, we shouldn't have given up that extra first round pick for Deshaun Watson. He's not right. Good. So I think it's more, what are you trying to accomplish? Because if you can figure out that either a Zach Wilson or a Justin Fields or, you know, maybe some other quarterback like a Trey Lance is going to be a franchise quarterback, that might be the quicker way to contention, because then you take the classic NFL strategy of getting the quarterback on the rookie deal and you have all these resources to build around them. With Watson, you're guaranteeing yourself stability, but he's going to come at the expense. First of all, he's going to take up a lot of the cap space that you've got. But second, he's going to take up a lot of the draft capital that you have. Now, if you're trying to win a Super Bowl over the next, you know, 10 to 12 years, Deshaun Watson's probably the best starting point that you can have. But it's probably going to be a slower build, although it's a lower risk because you know Deshaun Watson's going to be great. So the way I view it is not so much, is this the right move or is it the wrong move? It's more, which strategy do you want to take? Do you want to take the sure thing that maybe brings you stability quicker, but it would take a little bit longer to build up the rest of the roster? Or are you looking for the home run right now to potentially have a talented young quarterback to build around and as many resources as any team in the league to build around them? It's not, I think it's more, which path do you want to take? As much as it is this the right move? Is that the wrong move?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers went from out of the playoffs to into the Super Bowl. Can the Minnesota Vikings take the same kind of leap and break their seeming franchise curse? That's our cue of the day next.
And that was a quick bit of Locked On Today. You can hear every day with Peter Bukowski, a new national show that is daily. You can get that here on the Locked On Podcast Network early in the morning. I will see you guys tomorrow for our Fan Friday show. You guys continue to take care of each other and tune in here on Locked On Jaguars and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and tell your friends and family to do the same and come along. This is your man, Tony Wiggins, and I'll see you guys on tomorrow.